Good morning. I'm starting a series this morning, and it's just a huge shift that God is bringing on the inside of me, and I want to come and share that with you this morning. And it connects all with the cross. It connects with resurrection, the death on the Friday and the resurrection on the Sunday. It's at the heart of what I want to share with you this morning. But minus to plus, minus to plus. And I hope I'm not going to go over your heads, because I'm going to share a few things that's like, your natural mind can't get this. But if you get this, I believe we're going to live completely differently. We're going to think differently. We're going to live differently. It's like every negative in our lives will be turned into a plus. Do you think it's possible? Do you think it's possible that every tragedy, every negative thing, every hate-filled person that might be in our lives, any negative, any minus, that God could turn that into a plus, into a win? Do you think it's possible? But it begins with the way we think. It starts with us, with thinking biblically, thinking according to the scriptures, but also thinking from heaven to earth. So I'm going to give you a few keys, but things you need to, if you can't take notes this morning, it would help to, because you probably have to meditate on some of these concepts as you go ahead. But all of this is found in the cross. The cross is like God's example for us, but also our source of power for every negative thing to be turned into a plus. So think about it. For most Christians, for most people in general, when we go through something bad, it so often happens that bad thing becomes our defining thing. And often in a negative way. It becomes our place of death. It becomes our place of disappointment. If only that didn't happen. If only that person was nicer to me. If only my boss gave me the promotion. If only I got that bonus or that breakthrough, or if only I got the girl or the guy or the whatever. There's a thousand different things we can list. If this only happened, would have happened, then things would have been good. But I'm trusting this morning for every one of us to get a completely different perspective, to actually look at our negatives as our biggest blessing. The source of our biggest blessing, our negatives, the bad things, the tragedies, when evil came against us or when bad things came against us, that is actually the source, the starting point of our greatest win, our greatest victory. So look at this, Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9. Okay, Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9, New Living Translation. This is God speaking through the prophet. And he says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts." Say nothing. So it says there, my thoughts. God is saying, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. So whenever you face any challenge, assume you're not seeing it right. Assume you're not seeing it. Step back and ask God, God, what are you seeing? You see, how do we normally respond to a crisis? We WhatsApp 10 people, pray. Oh, it's a crisis. I don't like doing that anymore. Oh, there's a crisis. I actually think we shouldn't pray out of a place of I'm freaked out. I've so much little faith. I'm so challenged. I'm so under this problem. So my prayers are actually not going to get to heaven. It's just going to hit the ceiling. It's not going to go beyond, because I'm responding out of a place of I'm freaked out. What we actually should do is we should step back and be unemotional and say, God, what are you seeing right now? What are you seeing? You see, when God looks at something, there's always hope. There's always faith. There's always a solution. This can always be turned around. When God looks at something, I mean, can you imagine God looks at something and then he falls off his throne and is like, oh, I don't know what to do. But that's how we respond. It's like, oh, you know. Why? Because his thoughts are not our thoughts. And I think that's where so many Christians live powerless lives, because we're not seeing it from God's perspective. We're seeing it from a human perspective, an earthly perspective, and it removes God's power from us. So then it says, so my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. Okay, that's the first point. Assume you're not thinking correctly. Good starting point. Then, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. So God is saying, my ways, the way I do things, it's far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So God is saying, even as the heavens are higher, my thoughts are higher, my ways are higher. It is beyond anything you can imagine. And the scriptures are full of it. There's so many examples. Best example is God sending the conquering Messiah to die on a cross. Huh? It completely caught the devil off guard. Completely. If evil knew what would happen if Jesus would die on the cross, it's been said that the devil would have killed everybody trying to kill Jesus. But he didn't know. It's been said as well that if the devil knew what would happen if Jesus dies on the cross, he would have cut off every tree in Israel so that there was no trees. Can't kill him. Don't kill him. Huh? So think about this. So evil comes against Jesus. Negatives come against Jesus. Evil psychs up the religious leaders. Hate him. Be jealous. Hate him. Accuse him. Put him on trial. Are you the Messiah? Yes, I am. Blasphemy. Crucify him. So evil was psyching them up the whole time. I can just imagine the devil behind the scenes there. We got him now. We got him now. He's in trouble. We're going to kill him. And then the will of God's not going to be done on the earth. Then he goes further and he's brought before Pilate, and all the people there that Jesus healed, so many of them, they worshipped him just a week before, palm branches celebrating the coming Messiah. Now evil is there whispering, shout, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Ah, and then they start shouting, crucify him, crucify him. So I'm just thinking, what's the picture behind the scenes? What's the picture behind the scenes? All of these negative forces working against Jesus. But what was it doing? It was actually working for the will of God. It was actually working for the will of God. Even as the enemy was saying, kill him, blood, mock him, scourge him, beat him, crucify him, shame him. It was all minus. It was negatives. And then on the third day, while the devil was thinking he's won a wonderful victory, Jesus was risen from the tomb, risen from the grave. Can just imagine the devil like, oh my hell. What did I do? Isn't that the heart of the cross? Is that minus is turned to plus. Minus negative is turned into positive. Imagine if the power of God would be at work in our lives, that everything life and hell throws against us just becomes another plus. Just becomes another victory. Just becomes a huge win for us. I mean, if the death of a 33-year-old carpenter from Nazareth, who was mocked and beaten and scourged and died on a cross, if his death can be turned into the most beautiful victory this world has ever seen. What can God not do with your negatives? What can He not do with the stuff that comes against you, either life or evil or disappointment or whatever? The challenge is to see it differently. We need a radical perception change. We need a radical perception change if we are to see the negatives become positives. So I want to share a few of these. I mean, Jesus' victory on the cross was huge. It is the greatest, most profound, most significant moment in the history of the world. You have before the cross and you have after the cross, after the resurrection. That is the history of the world. You have before the cross and then you have after the cross. You have minus and then you have plus. Who would like to experience the power of God in such a way that all your negatives become positive? Huh? Who would want that? I want that. But something needs to shift in our way of thinking. Okay, so I'm going to challenge our thinking a little bit from the scriptures. So radical perspective change number one. Every negative is simply a setup for God to turn into a plus. That's the radical perspective change we need. Every negative is simply a setup for God to turn into a plus. I don't know if you've got a pet hobby, you know, like a my on the side hobby is I want to freak out the devil. That's just on the side, just for fun. I want to freak him out. Imagine the devil himself throwing all he's got against you and against us, and it doesn't get us under. It doesn't make us negative. It doesn't steal our joy. It doesn't steal our peace. It doesn't steal our love. Our response is just over and over again, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's a scripture, James chapter 1, where it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Because then it says later on, it will cause you to become a perfect man. So when something bad comes against you, how should you respond? I heard this from a guy. How should you respond? Something bad happens during your work day. What should your response be? You get onto the phone, your best friend, and you say, hey, this happened. I just want to say happy birthday to me. Because I'm counting it all joy when bad things come against me. Because this bad thing is going to work the character of Christ into me. It's going to become my biggest blessing. You're going to freak out the devil. He doesn't know what to do. You're going to make him mad. It's like mad, like crazy. He's like, I don't know what to do with these people. How do we normally respond? We become negative and complaining. And oh, yeah. The devil thinks, got you. Lost your joy. Lost your peace. Radical perspective change. Every negative is simply a setup for God to turn into a plus. But you need to see it like that. Otherwise, you won't be able to respond in the right way. A radical change in perspective will lead to a radical change in the way that we live. And the cross is all about that. The death and resurrection of Jesus is the crossroads. The defining, the point each one of us must come to and decide, am I going to still think worldly, earthly, or will I think from heaven to earth? Will I think and see as God sees? Because His thoughts are higher, His ways are higher, and He's able to turn every minus into a plus. I promise you, the worst thing that's ever happened in your life can be your greatest victory if you see it from God's perspective. See it from God's perspective. Step back and see it. As our perspective is transformed, so our lives will also be transformed. So ask this question, God, how do you see this? I just felt that the Holy Spirit whispered this to my heart over this last few days. I felt Jesus say, I have come to turn every insignificant life into something profound. I have come to turn every insignificant life into something profound. But for that, you need to see as He sees. So I saw this, I had this impression of God calling us higher and saying, from up here, everything looks different. Everything looks different from up here. Come higher. Come see as I see. You see, what the enemy wants to tell us is we are insignificant. The enemy wants to tell us that only if we do great and wonderful things, then our lives become significant. The enemy is trying to remove significance from us so that we would live like mediocre, ordinary people. And you're not called to that. You're not called to living an ordinary, mediocre life, but your perspective needs to change. So for Jesus, Jesus saw things differently. When He hung on that cross, it says, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. So Jesus goes through hell on earth. He goes through absolute hell of shame and rejection and a beating and all the other things you can go read at the end of the Gospels, shares the whole account. But He had something anchoring Him on the inside. He saw you and He saw me. And that brought joy to His heart and it gave Him strength to go through all hell. Jesus saw differently. If you and I see differently, we will also go through our hell without giving up. We will also go through our trials and tribulations, but we won't give up because for the joy set before us, we will endure. But we will only endure if we believe that we are truly significant and what we're doing is significant. Okay, so the radical perspective change. The first one is that every negative is simply a setup for God to turn it into a plus. And the cross is at the heart of this. Think about it. At the cross is the moment all our negatives were turned into positives. Sinners were turned into saints. Sickness was turned into healing. A bad self-image was transformed because now we can know that God loves us so much. We're loved by the Father. Orphans, spiritual orphans, are now made children, sons and daughters of God. Those who had no hope now has abounding hope because of the cross of Christ and His resurrection. Death was turned into eternal life for everybody. Fear, shame, guilt, all those things has been transformed into a confident trust in God because now we know. You see, love found a voice at the cross. Love found a voice. For all of since creation, God has been trying to tell mankind, I love you. Beyond anything you can imagine. But there has been no way for Him to really show it until the cross. The cross gave God a voice to say, this is how much I love you. The cross revealed a new standard of love. It is profound. Think about this for a moment. What could be worse than 3 days in the dead in the grave? What could be worse? What could be more than a negative? The Messiah. Think of what the disciples went through. They've been walking with Jesus for 3 years. All their hope, all the excitement, the miracles, the crowds, the prophecies, the word of the kingdom of God coming. All of their identity, all of their hope was found in Jesus, and now He was dead. Imagine the shame, the guilt, the condemnation, the disappointment, all of those negatives over those 2-3 days. But imagine the amazing positive plus when they found that He is risen. I think our negatives give context for greater positives. Jesus' death on the cross, Him being in the tomb, that minus actually gives context for the man walked out of the tomb. It became a glorious victory. It became something beautiful. So in other words, your negative is a setup for a glorious positive. But you need to look at it differently. You need to see it differently. Radical perception change. The cross is the moment all our negatives were turned into a positive. Have you ever been hopeless? Ever been staring at something thinking, how on earth am I going to do this? I don't know what to do. Ever experienced? Obviously you have. We all have. In the cross, that can be turned into your greatest victory. God loves to do this because he wants to create a story. It wouldn't have been a wonderful story. And the man left the tomb. But he never died. He left the tomb. But if he died and he was dead for 3 days, the man left the tomb. Woohoo! Amazing. Wow. God is alive. God is powerful. What is the point? How can God show himself powerfully if there aren't negatives? How can he show himself powerfully if there's not darkness? Evil is simply a vehicle for God to reveal how powerful he truly is. It's just a setup. The devil thinks he's doing his own thing, but he's not. He's just playing into the hands of God. Imagine that. Every negative turned into a positive. Okay, so the cross, the moment, all the negatives turned into a positive. Hallelujah. Next one, radical perspective change. Number two, my life is significant. Your life is significant. Everything we do is significant because of who we are as sons and daughters of God and because of who is cheering us on. Look at this verse, Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus, for the joy set before him, he went through the negative. He held on. He held his nerve. He stayed on track, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Because Jesus went through the negative, he was exalted to the very right hand of the Father. Every negative is a setup for us for a positive. But now look at that first verse there, Hebrews 12, 1. It says, therefore, we also. It's saying, therefore, because in Hebrews 11, it speaks about the great men of faith, the conquerors of the faith, of the Old Testament, all those who carry out mighty exploits. Then it says there, we also, let's say it, we also. We also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. So I want to paint this picture for you. Imagine you are crying. Imagine you are a street sweeper, alone on an empty street, sweeping, picking up rubbish, just sweeping the streets. Would you feel significant? Probably not, huh? People would walk past you. They probably not even notice you. They probably not even greet you because they say, well, you pick up trash, so you are trash. And so often we can also then make that our own identity. Just because I'm doing something silly, ordinary, I am ordinary. I'm insignificant. I'm doing something insignificant, so I feel that I'm insignificant. But imagine now for a moment you could see from God's perspective that street is transformed into a stadium, packed to the rafters with a cloud of witnesses, the saints that came before, the angels of heaven. So in a moment, you're still sweeping the street, but suddenly, all the eyes of heaven are on you. Why? Because you're a child of the King. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. God the Father is looking at you and he's celebrating you. That makes you significant. You know, when my son plays any form of sport, like team sport or something, like rugby or cricket or whatever, and I'm standing like as a proud dad next to the field. You know, I don't see the other kids. I don't see them. I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to take a photo of my boy. It's my boy. And he's my everything. And he's playing grade one rugby. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. It's terrible. But it's my boy playing it. So this is more important than the World Cup rugby final. This is my boy. He is significant in his mind. You are significant because of who, whose eyes are on you right now. Your heavenly Father is looking at you and he's saying, this is my boy, this is my girl. She's so significant. All the eyes of heaven are on you. You are significant. If you believe you are insignificant, you will never do anything truly significant. And so there needs to be a radical perception change. Your life is significant. Now you're sweeping the streets and you have this thing in your heart to maybe do something kind to someone over there, an orphan or someone, a street child. You feel you're going to, you don't have much, but you're going to share your part of your bread with a street kid on the corner. Insignificant? Human perspective, yes. Heaven's perspective, no. That stadium of people are looking, saying, go for it, go for it, do it, do it. They're shouting your name. They're saying, Sherelle, yes, Sherelle, 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 do it, do it. You can do it. Our names are being chanted in heaven right now. Do it. Go for it. And then you hand over the piece of bread. You love this child. And all the angels of heaven go, ah, ah. It's a glorious moment. Something significant happened. Someone loved on someone else. All of heaven is looking. All of heaven is watching. You know, but we look at significance in all the wrong ways. We don't look at it from God's perspective. And I realize the result is, it's all the significant things is out there. I'm probably never going to do it, so I'm not going to even try. And then we give up. The smallest thing we do to impact another life is huge in the kingdom of God. The smallest thing that you and I can do to impact another life is huge in the kingdom of God. You know the epic movies where the hero fights the big baddie right at the end, and then there's a camera crew there, and then they live stream it across the earth, and everybody sees it. Yes, go! But I believe in heaven there's a crowd of people, a crowd of the saints that went before us, a crowd of angels, millions upon millions cheering us on, saying, love someone. It's huge. It's beyond anything you can imagine. It is so significant. Love someone. Step out and love someone. You see, when you and I start living a life, when we realize that every step of our lives have been scripted, there's this beautiful script that's been written for your life and my life before we were born. The scripture speaks about it. And that script was written by the ultimate author, the ultimate script writer. Better than Batman versus Superman. Better. Written by God Himself. This beautiful plan for your life has been written. All you need to realize is, I am significant. The story is significant because it was written by the significant one. Let's do this. Let's do this. Why try to live an extraordinary life if you're just a nobody? That's not going to make a difference. Why try to live a holy life if it doesn't matter? Because that scripture says there, Hebrews 12, it says, in the light of this cloud of witnesses, in the light of you are standing in the midst of this glorious stadium and everybody's chanting your name, yes, go for it. You can do it, do it, do it, do it. And then because you don't realize who you are, You say, stuff it. Let's just drink. Get drunk. So you storm there into the bar. And everybody's like, go for it. Whoa, no. Oh, no. Drunk as a skunk next morning. You wake up with hangover. Everybody gets up again. Come on, get up. Get over it. You can do it. Try again. Come on. Don't disappoint your people in the crowd, sir. Don't disappoint your people in the stands. Don't disappoint them. Don't let them, All of heaven is watching. But that verse says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us and live this beautiful scripted story, this epic journey. It's the most beautiful story God has ever written. Your life. Your life. It is His most epic. It's unique. There's no other story like it. It's crafted specifically for you. All you need to realize is, this is epic. Let's say it. It is epic. It is. It is. But we must see it from God's perspective. Radical perspective change. My life is significant. It is. Another radical perspective change. Number three. Insignificant becomes profoundly significant because of love. Insignificant becomes profoundly significant because of love. So what is significant? What is significant? Our definition is so wrong that we do nothing. How many of us will do some of these things? Like, truly something significant. Preaching to a crowd of 100,000 people. Now, who of us are going to do that? Probably not many. So we give up. Or, who is God going to use to do a mind-boggling miracle that raising the dead? Maybe one or two of us. So the rest of us, whatever. Rosie says, or 50 of us. Or what about giving millions? Doing something significant is to give millions into the kingdom of God for a noble cause. Who's going to give a million? Let's go for dollars, $1 million. Not many of us. So we say, my giving doesn't matter. So I step back, I step away. But how does heaven see? Look at this, 1 Corinthians 13. You all should know this. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, like a noisy gong. Without love. Without love, all that heaven hears is a gong. So we sing, we pray, but there's no love. There's no passion. There's no true love for God. So what is God hearing? What? Gong. Say again. Gong. Sorry, speak louder. Gong. Still can't hear you. Whole bunch of people praying. God's like, I don't know if I'm going to hear you today. There's no love there. No love. Sorry. Can't hear you. Sorry. On the positive side, add a little bit of love to whatever you're doing. And it is hugely significant in the kingdom of God. Imagine that. Your life can be significant today. Not just because of who you are in Christ, but because of what you've just done. Your life can be significant. It says there, verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains, even mountains. I'm amazing. But have not love, I am nothing. How's that for going from positive to zero? I'm nothing. So you can do great things, positive, wow, things, without love. It's canceled. It's a zero in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. God says it's nothing. You are nothing in the kingdom. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. So my minus cannot be turned into a plus. There's no profit. No minus to plus. Just zero. when love is missing. Without love, I am nothing. Whatever I do would still reduce me to nothing, to insignificance. The positive side is, the measure of love involved determines the significance of our actions in the kingdom of God. Love causes insignificant actions to become profound in the kingdom of God. So you upgrade insignificant to profound because I've added a little bit of love. Like today, you go home and you do something, guys, you do something really special for your wife. You just love on her. You went out of her way. Or in during the week, you're busy, it's hectic, you've got deadlines and things. You're busy with important things. You know, you're the CEO, you know, you're director of the company. You have this big degree behind your name. You know, you're like significant. And you drive a fancy car maybe as well. I don't know. Anything above a Chico is really fancy. So drive your fancy car. You are the significant person in the kingdom. If you want to be significant, then you stop your big things and you give time for your wife and you just love her. You listen to her, you put aside all your distractions, you turn your phone off and you can see she's going through a difficult time. So you stop everything because she's going through a difficult time and you've also got issues, but you get over it and you love your wife. That is significance in the kingdom of God. Ladies, say amen. Oh, fathers, we busy with our things and deadlines, etc. And your son or your daughter comes to you and wanting to show you the really, really silly picture that they painted at school. Because it's like, it's really insignificant. I'm busy with important stuff, you know. But you stop everything and you realize, if I just love my child right now, I give them time. And I value them as somebody significant. All the angels of heaven are going to stop and sing. Ah. I'm not quite sure what pitch they hoy, but anyway, that's just where I'm going. But I want a perception change. We've fallen so into the trap of what is supposedly significant. And I tell you, in the kingdom of God, His thoughts are not our thoughts and His ways are not our ways. Probably the most significant thing I can do for the kingdom of God is to invest in my son. He's probably going to outshine me 100-fold. Significance in the kingdom. So you might ask now, if I, ordinary me, with no great gifting, leave this building today and simply love someone with the love of Jesus, then I am significant in the kingdom of God. Yes. Doesn't that change the game completely? Doesn't it bring significance within our reach? That's what God wants. A people just loving others, being kind, even to those who do not deserve it. Doing ordinary things with a bit of love makes it extraordinary. It turns a minus or a zero into a plus. Heaven's focus is completely different. The more love involved, the greater the significance. Your life can become profoundly significant right now. Right now, today. Boom. Be kind to someone that doesn't deserve it. Be nice to someone that was maybe ugly with you. And you become profound. I mean, just think about Jesus. Jesus lived so different. He wasn't actually crowd-focused. Yes, the crowds came, but often He tried to decrease the crowd. Jesus worked with the 12, just the 12. It's also like a holy moment. Beep. Hallelujah. Thank you, Eskom. We love you. We love you. Let's say it. We love them. Yes, come on. Jesus walked with 12 people. And I believe at some point Jesus said, just before He went to heaven, He said, guys, now love one another as I have loved you. You see, Jesus wasn't focused on the crowd. He was focused on the measure of love that was released to the individual. I believe Jesus, looking at his 12 disciples, saying to himself, this is profound. This is significant because of the love at work here right now. I don't know about you, but often we focus so on big is big. No, small can be big when we add the love of God into it. Even with our small groups, our life groups, at Bible studies, at meet in the week, our small groups can be so significant if we add the love of Christ to the midst of it. Okay, last one, very shortly. Radical perception change. The negatives in our lives are our greatest opportunity for kingdom blessing if we respond with love. The negatives in our lives are our greatest opportunity for kingdom blessing if we respond with love. Let's look at Jesus. He's battling in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's like, Dad, Father, if there's a way, I don't have to do it, please. Make a way, but not my will be done, your will be done. So imagine the Father saying to Jesus, no, I want you to die on this cross. So he does it. He goes through it, but he's like, fine, I'm going to do it, but I'm not liking it. So all the way through everything, he's cussing. He's like, I hate these people. Oh, God, just kill them. And so he's cussing them and he's cursing them. And he's, oh, revenge, I'm going to get back. Just wait until I'm risen from the grave. I am going to, I'm going to take you apart. Imagine he would have gone through that process like that. But he didn't. He came in the opposite spirit. Think about it. Jesus goes through hell, but he releases the love of heaven in the midst of it. I believe that's why the cross is the most significant event in the history of the world. Not because Jesus just obeyed, but because he obeyed with love. He did it because he loved. He truly loved the Father and he loved people. That's why he could hang on that cross and people mocking him and accusing him. And he could just say, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Father, forgive them. So imagine this for a moment. Something negative comes into your life. If you want to turn it into a positive, respond in the opposite spirit. You've got a colleague at work, scheming behind your back, gossiping, saying bad things about you, negative, 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 negative stuff. But so you want to turn the negative into a great positive. How do you do it? Respond in the opposite spirit. Father, I forgive. Father, I bless. Lord, I pray for him. I pray that you so bless him. I thank you. You give him peace. God, I thank you that you can really bless him. You get an opportunity to be kind to that person. And so you're kind to them as well. Imagine that. Opposite spirit. That's what Jesus did. That's why the cross is the most significant event in history, because of the love that Jesus had. He died gloriously. He died with a heart full of love, although going through all of that pain. Respond in the opposite spirit, and your negative will become a plus, a positive. So imagine this for a moment. Minus, you've got minus 100. Minus. Do you know that you're halfway there to a plus? Just add the vertical bar. And then your minus goes to plus 100, and you've just added a double. You were minus 100, now you double 100, 200, positive. I believe that's how God wants to operate. He wants to take your minus and give you double that back. Look at that, Isaiah 61, ending off with this verse. Isaiah 61, the anointing of the instead of, say instead of. That's the anointing that is found through the cross of Christ. If you can read Isaiah 61, it says, the captives would be made free. The mourning will find joy. There's every time something instead of the bad. And then it builds up to this. Isaiah 61, 7, it says, instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Isn't that beautiful? Every minus is turned into a double plus through the power of the cross. If you and I respond in the opposite spirit, whatever negative is coming against you, if there's hatred, respond with love, with kindness, gentleness. And your negative will be turned into a plus. You will become more Christ-like, and the kingdom will come as well. I would say the most bad, the most negative things that happened in my life over the last 15 plus 20 years since becoming a Christian has been my greatest victories when I responded in the right way. It actually launched me into the blessing of God. It launched me into the goodness of God. It made me more Christ-like. And that's God's heart for you. He wants you to be more like Jesus. It's a win. Everything the enemy brings against us, God turns around for a win. Amen. Radical perception change will empower us to act radically different. As I said at the beginning, imagine every negative thing in your life is a setup for the supernatural blessing of God. See it from heaven and then respond accordingly. Your life is significant. So I want us to do something. You should have a card and a pen on your chair. So just grab it. We're going to do something special this morning. At Encounter 3, we're actually going to go deeper into all of these things. Radical perception changes so that God can restore our hearts. If we see the negative as a blessing, that's the beginning point of healing and restoration. Okay, so what do I want you to do? It's not going to be perfect, but I want you to turn it like horizontal. I want you to draw a line in the middle, down the middle. On the left, I want you to write at the top, minus. And on the other side, I want you to write positive or plus. Every bad thing, every negative voice that you hear in your life is simply revealing to you the will of God, which is the opposite. A loving Father. So if the enemy says to you, you are a failure, then a loving Father is saying to you, in me, you are more than a conqueror. There's your promise. There's your positive. There's your plus. If you have financial lack, so on the left you might say, I lack financially. Then on the right-hand side, your plus is the Lord says to you, I am the Lord your provider. If you are fearful and anxious, and voices are telling you everything is going to go wrong, on the right-hand side, it says, but perfect love casts out all fear. My love is all you need. You're being set up in the midst of your anxiety, in the midst of your fear, in the midst of everything you're going through. You are being set up to receive the most beautiful revelation of the love of God that you've ever had. Your minus is going to turn into a plus. And you're going to be free. Maybe your negative is, your minus is, you're angry at someone for what they did to you. But your plus is, the Lord says that He turns every bad thing into good. All things work together for good to those who love God. Imagine that. And you're going to look a little bit more like Jesus when you respond in the right way. So we're going to keep it simple, but I want you to write down five negatives. Don't put your name on it. Just five negatives, five minuses. You can do more if you want to. And on count to three, we're going to go in more depth. And then I want you to, on the right-hand side, write the opposite. Your negative is your setup for your positive. The lie that you might be hearing or believing is simply the opposite of what the Father is saying about you. So on the right-hand side, write the positive. So I'm just going to, let me just pray for us. I just want the Holy Spirit to lead you. Then we're going to do two things. You're going to tear it in two. The negative, there are hammers and nails over there. You're going to nail the negative to the cross. You're going to take the positive with you home. And you're going to trust God for more promises around the positive. You don't need to focus on the negative to get a positive. You just focus on the promise. And we also have communion. So we're going to do two things. We're going to have communion, you and your spouse, or you and a friend, or you on your own. And you're just going to come in on your own and just say, thank you, Father. Thank you for your provision that you've made for me on the cross. My every minus will be turned into a plus. And then you nail that to the cross. You can do it either way. You can first nail it to the cross and then have communion to give everybody an opportunity. And you nail it to the cross and say, this minus is overcome by the power of the cross and the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. I will not live under the negatives. I'm going to live in the promise of God. As I said, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Let's get on His perspective.